This is the UCLA Mindful Monday Meditation. Each week, Marvin G. Belzer, or one of our UCLA Mindful teachers, leads a 30-minute guided session offering a variety of themes and practices to cultivate self-awareness, emotion regulation, and increased well-being. Thanks for joining us.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Monday Meditation. Your instructor is me, Marvin G. Belzer, zooming in from Victoria, British Columbia. Good to see everyone. If you're new to meditation, I hope to give clear guidance as to how to meditate in using mindfulness practice. There are many different types of meditation. We don't need to discuss them all. Most of them will begin the way we begin, with a little bit of effort to focus our attention on something happening in our experience. And this is doable. We won't do it perfectly, but it is something that we can do if we give it some effort. And I really love teaching the basics of mindfulness. I know that there are usually beginners coming to these, just having Googled how to meditate, and UCLA Mindful pops up. And yet it also, the reminder of what we do can be useful for people even with experience, and sometimes with a lot of experience. It can be important to remember, oh yeah, the basics are very simple, and so forth. Even though there's plenty to talk about, there are lots of things to talk about, even that are very practical as we develop a practice. This is where doing a retreat can be useful, just to put ourselves in a situation of our own practice together with instruction. And then, of course, there are many abstract issues that are in the neighborhood of meditation. My background is philosophy. I used to be a philosophy professor. I love the questions, but that background is mainly useful now because I know that all of that isn't so relevant to actually doing this. Although at the drop of a hat, don't anyone drop your hat, because at a drop of a hat, I'll just go off on a tangent. So welcome to everyone here from wherever you are. It's amazing we can meet up this way. And I should say congratulations to the UCLA women's basketball team for a really pretty amazing journey this year. So as we begin the meditation, we will focus our attention on sensations of sounds, of sensations in our bodies. And I'll guide you as we do this. And to repeat, I teach this with a lot of confidence that we can do it. It takes a little effort, it takes patience, but we don't have to kind of adjust everything to get going. We just start where we are and take the steps moment by moment. As we do it, there will be those moments when we realize the attention has drifted, and we're daydreaming, planning, freaked out, worried. Whatever our minds will do, that will happen. And with mindfulness practice, we have that permission to include what is happening as part of the meditation, meaning just that recognition, thinking, worrying, scared, whatever, and then coming back. Okay, so let's go ahead. Eyes can be open or closed. Might take a few deeper breaths, slightly deeper in-breath and out-breath. Maybe even a little sigh with the out-breath. Yeah, this is just one way to begin. Then letting your breath be normal. We'll come back to the normal breath in a minute. But for now, just notice the sounds. Excuse me. Just notice the sounds you can hear. Whatever is happening. Whatever is happening in your environment, notice how easy this is. We don't have to try to hear everything or keep track. Just moment after moment, noticing some of the sounds that occur. We're not trying to get something out of the sounds. It's a mental activity of focusing attention. And the sounds are handy objects of consciousness. Just noticing. It's also good to practice with sensations in our bodies. So you can stay with sounds if you wish, but at some point, drop in, feel your body. Similar spirit, just not trying to do everything perfectly, not trying to feel everything, but tuning in, head, shoulders, arms, hands, torso, legs, feet. Again, not trying to make something happen, just noticing. You might notice a lot, maybe too much. You might not notice much. It might seem like too little. It doesn't matter. Just noticing what there is, vibration, pressure, softness, so forth. As we feel into our bodies, it can be natural to notice sensations connected with the breath, the normal breath now, not breathing deeply the way we began. Just letting the breath happen. There tend to be some sensations that we can observe, that we can notice in the abdomen, slight rising, tensing with the in-breath, falling, softening, dissolving with the out-breath. It might be new to you to even know, oh, this is happening, but it is happening. It's how the breath functions. You may not feel much there. We can also observe sensations at the opening of the nose, the upper lip, as air comes in, as air leaves our bodies. So we're not making a fetish out of these sensations. It's just they're handy. And for our purposes, they tend to be very good because they're relatively neutral, not charged with a lot of pain or pleasure typically. So the idea would be choose somewhere, abdomen, chest, or nose, let your attention rest there, and just be alert. Notice when the in-breath begins, when the out-breath begins, staying attuned to the sensations. And the reason we would do this at all is this activity, this focusing, sustaining attention with something relatively neutral, has good effects for us as human beings. And it is something we can do. If the breath doesn't feel quite right, we can focus somewhere else, maybe back to sounds or sensations in your hands or feet. We can do a standing, walking meditation where we tune into the sensations in our feet in a very similar way. But for sure, we do not have to figure it all out in advance. We don't have to get it perfect. If you're feeling something in the abdomen as the breath begins, that's good enough, or at the nose. And then we do have to make some effort, partly because our habits will tend to kick in and we're like, okay, I observe six breaths. That's probably enough, right? And yes and no, it's six breaths is really good. But then we kind of unreasonably insist on doing some more, right? And let the mind settle in this way. And then, of course, there will be those moments when we realize the attention has drifted. And we're like, no, this is unreasonable. I did 14 breaths, and now he expects me to do more. And it's like 14 breaths might be enough for today. But we just stay attuned. What's happening? What's going on? And of course, what will be going on at times will be the sort of thoughts that would be occurring to us, right? Things we're worried about and so forth, or perhaps unexpected things. A random memory pops to mind, leads to other thoughts. So we have this opportunity to take an interest in our own minds without any other responsibilities. So when we notice something we're worried about, we just have the opportunity to notice what it's like to worry, to be worried about something. And we're not going to, part of the effort we make is not to jump up and take care of it right now. So just notice what it is, what it feels like, and then come back to the breath, maybe the next in-breath, and so forth. So I'll be silent for a bit. We can practice together. So we'll take a few more minutes for the meditation together. One of the radical features of this type of activity is it literally doesn't matter what has happened so far. So in these moments now, these 2 or 3 minutes we have, we don't have to hold on to evaluations of how well we've done or what we're doing, how well we've done. If you're still here, even if you kind of lost track a long time ago, you can still come back. The breath right now, this breath. If you're just a little bit mad at me for interrupting you because it was going well until I started talking, okay, you can notice that tinge of annoyance and find your breath again. This is radical. We don't have to fix anything. Just know what's happening. So thank you. We'll end the meditation there. It's good to practice with you. Thank you for showing up here. There is something quite real that happens for people, and it's there. The basic instructions are relatively simple, not conceptually complex. They can be practiced. And yet, it is a personal journey for all of us, right? And so, actually doing it, we can have an understanding and it can make sense, perhaps. But actually doing it involves kind of entering into the activity with sincerity and with kind of an intention to explore, to see what will happen. And to practice. And this is something that Western mindfulness teachers didn't invent this, to say the least, right? It's human beings have done this for millennia, and there's no real understanding of where it began, right? The Buddha talked about the previous Buddhas, right? It makes sense that human beings discovered this. To me, it does. It's kind of, once you get used to doing it, then it's like, well, of course, our ancient ancestors would have stumbled on this. perhaps more easily than we might stumble on it, given cell phones and so much stimulation. But nonetheless, having the experiences of pain, of suffering, and so forth, fear and so forth. So the basics are relatively simple. There are other forms of meditation. Most of them, not all, but most will begin with some sort of practice for deepening concentration, which is what we do with that focus on the breath, right? Coming back to the breath. So there are definitely other ways it can be practiced. A loving kindness meditation using thoughts and images is another way to deepen concentration as well as cultivate the states of appreciation and love and so forth. We also can cultivate more mindfulness in the midst of daily life, doing various activities. Most people find that actually devoting some time to what we just did is important. But again, there's not one size fits all. And for some people, it can be very significant to resolve to like bring more awareness into eating, right? Just the ordinary activity of eating. And there certainly is a way of practicing mindfulness as we eat, right? So we can bring awareness into the activities we do and explore this for ourselves too. We can practice mindfulness playing basketball, but we don't want to get too meditative playing basketball. I love teaching athletes. I wish, by the way, I wish I could claim some credit for the success of the UCLA women's basketball team. I might have some indirect impact. Some years ago, we did have some mindfulness lessons with the UCLA women's volleyball team, who also were very good. But I love teaching athletes, partly because they know how to pay attention. We all know how to pay attention, right? But to be good at any sport, you've paid attention a lot. And it is interesting, right, to kind of be in a context where we want to help cultivate skills that we do, where we just observe the breath, like we just did, in a context where people already are doing something like that. And I am very careful in those sorts of contexts not to make the claim that meditation will help improve one's basketball skills or volleyball skills or whatever, or football skills. I once taught the football team. And I did not make this joke, but in the back of my mind, it was like, yeah, very possibly a few minutes of meditation will help these football players realize, oh my God, this is a crazy activity that I'm engaged in. I have better things to do with my life than go around and run into each other the way we've been doing every day. So I'm very careful not to claim, and I would say that about any application, right? Mindfulness can be useful in business or in marriages or in raising children and so forth. But we don't want to exaggerate kind of the ability.
We don't want to exaggerate
in that sense. It's a very interesting process where we begin to like realize that there are very simple things we can do, like what we just did, that can be useful in reducing stress and helping us manage our lives and maybe help us play basketball better or be a better parent and so forth. But then it also is like it begins to filter in so that it begins to shift many other things. Two of my closest friends live here in Victoria, Temple Smith and Christina Berry. They're married and they're both Spirit Rock teachers. And talking with Christine, Christina the other day. She has a graduate degree in psychology as well as is a mindfulness meditation teacher. And she was talking about the process by virtue of which, as a psychology graduate student, and then getting a taste of meditation, it began to dawn on her that, oh, paying attention to my own experience could be relevant to psychology, right? And in a way, it's like, duh. But one has to kind of see that for oneself. I mean, her commitment was as a scientist. She was a scientist. And so her commitment was to take a scientific approach to human experience. And there's tremendous value in that. And quite obviously, it has to be supplemented in the bigger picture by human beings, including the psychologists themselves, paying attention to their own experience. In this sense, what we're doing is weird in a way, but not radical. It's almost common sense, and it is beginning to filter into academic psychology and so forth. We're out of time. I will, fortunately, we're out of time, so I can't really tell you why I'm really here. Yes, two of my best friends live here, so that's the official reason. Well, I can tell you, since I do tell you everything, I'm here for the Victoria International Kizomba Dance Festival, which is a very fantastic way of practicing mindfulness with other people to great music. So thank you for showing up. It's good to meditate with you.
Thanks for listening to the UCLA Mindful Monday Meditation. For more information about our classes, workshops, and retreats, please visit uclahealth.org/UCLA Mindful. Join us each week for a new session on mindfulness.